We have our bishop's wife. She's going to take and come. We're going to start this baby dedication off. So if we could all stand. Sister Grant, my lovely mom.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Brother Claude, what would we do without your... I love that. It makes the day. Today is so special. We have a handsome boy over here, a beautiful young lady over here, and a handsome young man right there. And we're going to dedicate them to the Lord this morning. So, if Sister Cecily Grant will come and pin Sister Jariel. So if you could stand, Jariel, and let her pin that on you. She's the smallest mother I think I've ever seen. And then we have the Hittestorfs. And I'm going to call her KK because she's been KK to me since way back. I want her and Ryan to stand. And they're dedicating their beautiful daughter, Eleanor. And Grandmother Hittestorf has her this morning. So, where's my flower pinner, Kitty? And then we have the O'Malleys. Could you stand, please? And they have a handsome young man named Matthew. And he is a sweetheart. He's going to knock them dead, so watch out, girls. So I'm going to have the bishop come.
Oh, praise God. Brother Claude, where is Brother Claude? Okay. Sister Grant said, if you weren't here, what would we do? Well, after hearing from her, I think she'd make a good replacement. Don't you all think so? Yeah. All right. Praise God. I love baby dedications. First, before we get started, it is good to see Brother Andrew, Sister Heidi, and their family here. Yes. Good to see Ron and Bev here. All right. And my dear friend, Brother Colthorpe. Good to see you, your wife, and your family. And when they come on vacation, they all come, so we have a whole pew full. So it's good to have you here. You know, we talk about these babies. When I was born, I weighed 10 pounds, and I was 17 inches long. So you can understand why I'm kind of portly built. Now, I'm just teasing about the 17, you know. I don't know what I was. Oh, praise God. My mother said when the doctor showed me to her, she held me and she looked at my dad, Emery, and she said, Emery, this is the ugliest baby I have ever seen. Now look at me now. God does perform miracles, doesn't he? Yeah. And somebody not long ago thought that Pastor Roy was my brother. Isn't that something? Yeah. I remember back when I was in my 20s and 30s that people thought that I was Sister Grant's father. Seriously. One guy I worked with, he came by and he said, "Boy, you got a nice looking daughter. Would you introduce your daughter to me?" I said, "That's not my daughter." I said, "That happens to be my wife." You know what he did? He turned and walked straight away, never said another word. And to this day, he's never mentioned it. Of course, I've been in Wisconsin now 40-something years, so I haven't seen him. But isn't that something? Praise God. It's good to see the family grow. Good to have 163 new babies in the Lord. But the thing about it is we almost have as many physical births. We got so many young couples, and these babies are just coming right and left, and every time I turn around, Sister Grant said, "Do you know that she's pregnant, and she's pregnant, and she's pregnant?" And Ryan was up here, and my wife just showed me something on YouTube that Sarah found out she's going to have a baby girl, and they released balloons and all kinds of stuff, and they were jumping and dancing and shouting. And oh, my. That's what happens. But you get three or four of them. Trust me, it takes the shout out. Marvin and Lana were going to have six. After a little Cole came along. He's in Sunday school, isn't he? You don't know where he is. After little Cole came along, they changed their mind. And little Cole and Ava and Marvin and Lana live in the same house that we live in. We have our own quarters and they have theirs. And when we get up on Saturday, we don't open the window fast because the kids, when they see the window open, they like to come see the blind open. They like to come over. And it's good to have them over. But they'll stay over there all the time. The other morning was pretty early, and we could hear Cole and Ava fighting. And they can really have a fight. And, of course, Ava's quite a bit bigger, so she can kind of manhandle him until he gets mad. And then he can be mean to her. And then their little dog, Hoover. Hoover got involved, little schnauzer, and he was barking. All of a sudden, the door opened from their side, and Cole comes dragging little Hoover in. He looks at us, and he says, "Hoover needs some grandma time." We closed the door and went out. Oh, my. These kids, they can say the greatest things. Praise God. Well, today is baby dedication day, and we do have three families involved, great families, great kids, like two boys and a girl. I'm just going to call this baby dedication. I usually put a title. But lately, the last baby dedication I did was in May. And if you notice, I'm trying to standing up today. I've been sitting down. I've had quite a few health problems. But I'm going to try it standing up today. I think I'm up to it. Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, verse 4. The Bible says, "Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, and also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." And, of course, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God made an exception to the original law of sin. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. The exception is found in the New Testament, where Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Except ye be born of water and of spirit, ye shall all likewise perish. This is the reason why on the day of Pentecost that Peter preached repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. This was an exception to the original law of sin. So all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But someday, when we see the host of people gathered around the throne in heaven, I think we can all say to each other, we're here as an exception to the original law of sin. God made an exception for us. We repented. He took away our sins. And then we were baptized in Jesus' name. Now, one thing we do not do here at Calvary Gospel Church, we don't baptize infants. Because baptism, according to the scripture, should be administered only when a person has fully repented of his sins. And these little infants are not able to do that right now. But there will be a day in which God will deal with their heart. And they will come forth and surrender their heart at an altar. Then we take and baptize them. Jesus was dedicated on his eighth day. That's the eighth day, 8 days after he was born. Now, all of these souls belong to the Lord, so we are stewards. You know what a steward is, don't you? Someone who takes care of something that does not belong to them. So these kids belong to the Lord. You may say that if these are God's, then why are we dedicating them? We are dedicating them because dedication puts more meaning than baptism, but we dedicate them because it is scriptural, and secondly, because we recognize the lordship of Jesus Christ. So your child belongs to God. And knowing that your child belongs to God, then, you know, God can do whatever he wants to do with the child. But we are the stewards, so we take care of the child. Now, there's a text that I want to read from Psalm 100. I like this reading. Psalm 101, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Do you want God to prosper in your family? You to prosper, brother, as a result of living for God? You want your family to prosper? You want your children to prosper? I thought of these kids quizzing. You can't believe the hours that these kids have spent quizzing. Every time you turn around, quizzing. Quizzing is number one in their activities here at the church. They quiz and quiz and quiz and quiz, and then, you know, we don't appreciate it that much until one of them gets up here and quotes like 100 scriptures. You know, it makes all of us that have been involved in studying the Bible for a long time feel pretty small. They can just go and go and go. But to be able to produce three teams that go to the nationals, and then have our number one team to come back as national champions. It's no small thing. And this is the reason why that we want to honor those kids. You look at those kids and they're just so small. And say, wow. And we think about Eric. Eric Seidel. Eric attends the Avosis afternoon service. And then Ashley. Ashley was up here yesterday. I think she came for Jim Rivas' 50th birthday. And she had those two kids. And it was just so great to see them. And then who else? Allison. Man, Allison and Jason, they have those four kids. And almost, yeah, almost. You didn't know that I knew that, did you? Sister Grant keeps me informed about all this. She says, so-and-so's having a baby. I said, oh, they are? I told you. When? Last week. She said, John, do you ever listen to me? I said, well, sure I do. How come you didn't know? I said, I didn't say I didn't know. She said, well, you almost said it. You men know what that conversation is like, don't you? So God wants your children to be successful. But they're not just successful because they make goals to be successful. They're not successful because that they give their heart to God. But they're successful because they do certain things. Now, I don't know how. I know how accurate the three things that I want to talk about are. But I'm sure there are other things that you could think of. But somebody just recently showed me on Facebook a statement made by Reba McEntire. You know who Reba McEntire is, don't you? All right. Nobody raise their hand. Okay. How many of you don't know who Reba McEntire is? Okay. Well, I'm not for sure I could define that. Yeah. Country Western singer that's won all kinds of awards, several bestsellers, $1 million gold recordings. She made this statement. She said, there are three things that you need to succeed in life. Three things you need to succeed in life. So when they showed me this, they said, now, Brother Grant, this will make a good baby dedication. The person showing it to me didn't know that I was actually doing the dedication. I thought, well, I think I'm going to use these. The first thing that she says, you need a backbone. You need a backbone. And, you know, you need to be strong in the Word. Our children that were number one in the nation, if they continue in the Word of the Lord, they will grow up with a strong, strong backbone. Read your Bible to your kids at home. If they're not involved in quizzing, you may have to double up on it. Read your Bible to your kids at home. When they can read, then at night, have them to read their Bible to you. Take the time to talk to them about the Word of God, to talk to them about God, to talk to them about heaven, and also talk to them about hell. And we don't like to think that, yeah, you may say, we don't want to scare your kids. Oh, you don't? Whew. My mama almost scared me to death. And I got to tell you, of course, I'm kind of the old school, you know. But I don't know how many whippings I have had. Oh, Mom always said, John, she said, I'm raising you to be a preacher, but you're acting like you're going to be a Jesse James. You heard me make this statement. I always thought my mom would be good at drive-by whippings. You know, the thing about it, though, now you may think, well, now I understand why he's a little bit warped. But I don't see it that way. I think my mom did a good job on me. And you do. She prayed for me every night, prayed for all the kids. Read the Bible, had us to read the Bible, talked to us about church and things that happened at church. And I got to tell you, there were times when I wasn't interested, but I heard what she said, and I was at church. She always managed to get me to church. My dad was not in the church, so. And I memorized scriptures. Tell you how things have changed. You know, we talk about no prayer in school. When I was in school, and I think in the third grade, the whole school, the third graders, took the first chapter of the book of John, and if you memorize it, you got a free pass to the movies all year long. I got a free pass to the movies all year long. My mom wouldn't let me go. So I kept that movie pass in my wallet to show people. But now there's so much of the first chapter of the book of John that I can quote after all these years. You know, that's been, 60, almost 70 years, long time. Memorize those scriptures. Develop a strong relationship with God. And develop and help your child develop that. Now, we're talking about a strong backbone. Where when they hurt themselves, they run to you for prayer. You know, and sometimes, you know, they get into that prayer so much that you wonder if they were really hurt, that they just want you to cuddle them and pray for them. You've seen that, haven't you? But develop a strong relationship by prayer and, of course, conversation. You know, tell them how much Jesus wants to heal them. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, according to Ephesians 6:10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So when the world is departing from God, and that's happening now, your family and your children are growing stronger and closer to God. Now, if they have a mom and a dad that stands up for truth, if they have a backbone, that they don't mind witnessing, talking to people. They see that in you. And that's something that they learn to appreciate. So develop a strong backbone. Now the next thing you need to develop a wishbone. You remember when you were children, maybe you didn't, but We had a lot of fried chicken. You've heard me talk about fried chicken, haven't you? And so we'd take the wishbone and we would pull it. Because of that, we call it the pulley bone. We'd pull it, and wherever it would snap, if you had the wishbone on your side, in other words, if it snaps short, then your wish is not going to come true. But if it snaps long, oh, your wish is going to come true. Now, you know that that's not how you get wishes to come true, but nevertheless, it's still a lot of fun. But children do need to develop dreams and hopes and wishes. I think that's so important. And when they're real young and they come to you, don't belittle them because they have a dream or something. Now, Patrick's son may run to him someday and say, I'm going to be president of the United States. Now, does that mean he's going to be president of the United States? But on the other hand, who would have thought that Jimmy Carter, peanut farmer, would have been president? Who would have thought that Barack Obama would have been president? So, don't belittle them. Now, that doesn't mean that you encourage them to do everything that they need to do to become president. But share your hopes with your children. I think it's necessary that all of you, parents, that you also have hopes and things that you want to see done. Things you want to see done for Christ. You know, usually the hopes that are shared and the dreams that are shared now with children have to do with material things. Like want a new dress, want a new toy, want a new game, want a new movie. But wouldn't it be great if along with all these things we would teach them their top priority has to do with things that they want to do for Christ? Why can't this be just as important to the child and just as exciting to the child as anything else? You know, when the Bible says, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he'll not depart. Now, my opinion of what that is saying is, get your child involved in ministry. So you get involved in a ministry, take your child with you, and you will find out if your child is suited for that ministry. And you're training him for that. And if you find out that your child's just not that interested in that ministry, go to another ministry and train that child. That child then will find out what ministry he belongs in. And when he is old, then he will not depart. Oh, we've got tons of people sitting out here that, I shouldn't say tons when you're talking about people's weight, you know. We got a whole lot of people out here, you know. Excuse me. Especially if you're 10 pounds overweight. But share your hopes with your children. Involve them in ministry. And encourage them to share their hopes with you. I remember when I was just a kid, I used to play church. And the reason why I did is because my mom told me that I was going to be a preacher. Now, when I became a teenager, I determined that she was wrong. But I had a good number of things that happened to me that changed my mind. And after we got married, I was not in the church when I got married. My wife was not. She was in another church. And I decided I wanted to become a member of that denomination. Now, I developed a stomach ulcer. I mean, a bleeding stomach ulcer. I couldn't eat anything for a couple of years except just like cold mashed potatoes and Maalox. That's what I ate for lunch. That's what I took in my lunchbox to work. Oh, man, it's horrible. So I went in and talked with the minister, and he was telling me that, well, You know, miracles are not for us today. And I really liked the man. He performed the marriage for Sister Grant and I. So on a Sunday morning, I attended his church, and I was so sick. And when he finished his message to give the altar call, a brother walked in the church and said, "I need to say something, Pastor Gwen." He walked down to the front. Pastor Gwen surrendered the pulpit. He got behind the pulpit. He said, "I just came from the hospital. One of the charter members of this church just had a massive heart attack, and we don't think she's going to make it. Could we all stand and pray for her healing?" I thought, well, wait a minute. Something not right about this. And so that's what they did. Well, I appreciate the fact that they did that. But just the day before, the pastor spent a good bit of time in the afternoon telling me that don't worry about miracles and things, because he knew that my mother was a Pentecostal. I never went back to that church. We had an evangelist, Johnny Wilhoit, that came to the little church in Henderson, Texas, where my mom went. And he came out to the house and told me, said, "I want you to come to church tomorrow." I said, "Only if I feel like it." I said, "I'm always sick. You can't believe I lost down to less than 120 pounds. Now, you may not have an imagination that'll take you that far. But I'm telling you, I lost a lot of weight, and I thought I was going to die. Well, I woke up Sunday morning, and I felt pretty good. My wife said, "How do you feel?" I said, "You know, I feel real good today." She said, "Well, you know, you told Evangelist Wilhoit you'd go to church if you felt like it." So away we went. I don't know what he preached on. I have no idea. But I do know this. When he gave the altar call, there was such a compelling pulling, drawing spirit. And I just almost ran down the altar. And people gathered around me and prayed for me. Not only was I filled with the Holy Ghost, but I was also healed, totally healed. Praise God. And some of the childhood wishes that I had about becoming a preacher and doing a great work for God were renewed in my life. But this was put in there when I was just a little boy. Just a little boy. So if your son or your daughter says, "I'm going to be a minister, I'm going to be preaching, I'm going to be a missionary," and they probably will if you talk to them about the work of the Lord, because missionaries come by. Missionaries make appeals to people to become missionaries. But one thing for sure, you know, you need a wishbone. You know, dreams do come true. They do. Yeah. You know, the real issues in life, the things that you're praying for, like a job for Dad, a new position for Mom, praying for our pastor, for our superintendent, and for our president. How many of you pray every day for Pastor Roy? Let me see your hands. All right, look at the hands. And I trust that you're still praying for me. Every time I come to church, they say, "Let's pray for Bishop." You know, I got to tell you, I feel good. This is the first time that I've stood up. I still have some health issues, but, well, I go in the morning for another cataract surgery. Would you believe that I can actually see just as well without my glasses? You may say, why aren't you preaching? Well, I'm going to wait till. You know, I'm kind of a routine guy. I haven't preached a message in 30-something years without my glasses. You know, if you look at our life, you know, we've had the same telephone number for years. Sister Grant's checkbook has 35,000, it's a number of it. Recently, Marvin says, I just was paid with a check that a rival yours, sister, I don't know if he calls her Sister Grant, but he pulled it out and she says, oh no, it was 15,000 something, 35,000. Well, but please keep in mind, 43 years ago she opened that account. I got my first haircut by someone else since 1972. I've been going to the same barber. Well, I'll tell you how these ladies are. The ladies stick together. You know, the thing about it is, Brother Thomas, he's over on the west side preaching this morning. He gets his hair buzzed. He tells me, you need to get your hair buzzed. I said, oh, no. I said, my barber's been doing this for 42 years or more. So they moved our barber shop. And I need the haircut, and they weren't open that weekend. So here, Lana, my granddaughter, she cuts her grandfather's hair. But, you know, he's 91 years old. And he doesn't really care how he looks like. And she cuts little Cole's, and she just buzzes him. And then she cuts Hoover's. So would you believe that my wife and Lana talked me into getting a haircut? And I told her, now don't buzz me. She said, I won't. I said, leave it, you know, kind of medium. But when she finished, I looked in the mirror and I said, she buzzed me. I felt like she was because when she started down here, she went all the way up to here. I thought, Now, my wife says, nope, you're not getting a buzz. Well, after this happened, I said, you know, Lana buzzed me. You know what she said? She said, oh, what was wrong with that? That's the way ladies are. What was wrong with that? And every time I ask her, I said, should I get Lana to cut my hair again? She said, oh, I like it like that. Yeah, I like it like that. Now, you know, teach them to have dreams. And the third thing is, you need a funny bone. Backbone, a wishbone, and a funny bone. When Lana's little kids were born, and of course they were at our house, Ava came shortly after birth. My big concern was, can I get them to laugh? You know, you've seen some kids, you couldn't get them to laugh. If you try to get them to laugh, they cry. And little Cole wouldn't laugh at all. I said, man, I told Sister Grant, I said, I'm concerned about this little boy. He won't laugh. You know, it's necessary to get him to laugh. You know, I remember Carl when Carl was little and just old enough to talk, and I'd pick him up and I'd start biting on him. Just, we were right out here by the church, and I was kind of nibbling on him and biting on him. Just a little. He was just dying laughing. All of a sudden, he stopped, and he says, Papa, I said, what? He said, are you play-biting? Carl, don't remember that. You know, it just, oh. But get those kids to laughing. And the truth of the matter is, it wouldn't hurt some of you parents to laugh more. Yeah. You've got the job of correcting them, but don't be a sorehead. You know, every now and then in the service, I look around, I don't see anybody laughing. You know, you've heard me do this. You've seen me do this. I say, lift your eyebrows. Now, can you frown with your eyebrows lifted? No. Can you smile? Yeah. Lower your eyebrows. Now, can you smile? You can? If you can, then you've been trying it wrong. That's the reason. In order to have friends, you've got to be friendly. You know, your house needs laughter. Laughter is the medicine of the soul. You know. So don't be a sorehead. Laugh a lot. Get your kids laughing. As soon as we finish supper every night, the kids hop on Marvin and they say, tickle us. I want to be tickled. You start tickling them. They say, oh, no, don't tickle me, don't tickle me. And you stop and they say, tickle me. Love that. They love that. You need a funny bone. Laughter, the medicine of the soul. And if you laugh with them, little Cole's developed this recently. He'll do something and you'd laugh. He looks and he says, don't laugh at me, Papa. I said, I'm not laughing with you. I'm laughing at you. I'm laughing with you. He says, but I'm not laughing. Gets embarrassed about it. So you need a backbone, you need a wishbone, and you need a funny bone. Now there's just tons of things that you could do as a parent to better your child to be prosperous and be successful. But we just leave this little nugget with you today. And what we'd like for you to do is stand at this time. And we'd like for you to bring your child to the altar. Mom and Dad. And then we'll have the grandparents to come and stand behind Mom and Dad. And we'd like for our designated ministers to come. I think Sister Brown, they want you to stand as a minister. Now all of the friends to the family come and stand behind them. Because the dedication of this child would not be complete if we didn't dedicate the parents. That's so important. Isn't it great to see all of these people coming? Now, this is what we're going to do. We're going to dedicate the children, and the ministers are going to take the families out in the lobby where we'll have receiving lines. And we will continue with the service. And we will give an altar call, give you an invitation to come give your heart to God. Also, if you're sick in body, an invitation to come for prayer. Praise God. If it be your intent to dedicate your child, would you please hand your child to the minister that's in front of you? These children are really attached to their parents. Bow your heads with me as I pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this opportunity to be in your house, to feel your power, to feel your Holy Spirit. Lord God, I do pray that you would move upon these children in a special way. Let your Holy Spirit, reside by them and with them. Lead them, direct them, protect them, Lord, so that your will can be done in their lives. And I pray, Lord Jesus, until that day that they walk into eternity to be with you forever, that you be with them, Lord. You promised that you would. Lord Jesus, in the presence of all the people here, in the presence of the holy angels that are observing, in your presence also, we dedicate these children back to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lift your hands and worship the Lord, would you? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We love you, God. We love you, God. We love you, God. We love you, God. Oh, praise God. Now, you can give the child back to the parents. And then what we want, all of you family members, reach out and touch the person in front of you until we reach the parents. And we're going to dedicate the parents to the Lord. And God of heaven, we pray right now, Lord, for these parents. And we're asking, Lord Jesus, that you move upon them, that you touch them, Lord. Give them the knowledge, give them the understanding, give them the wisdom that they need. The Bible says, if any man lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth liberally. And Lord Jesus, these parents need wisdom in order to teach these children in the way that they should go. Thank you, God, for these parents. Great people, Lord Jesus. Keep your hand upon them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise God. All right, the ministers would take the children. Take the families along with the children out in the lobby. And Brother Phil Demas is going to come and conclude the service.
Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus is our source of that backbone that we need. Jesus is the source of dreams. If you have had broken dreams in your life, if you feel that life is, you don't have that hope, you don't have those dreams, maybe things in the past that you've looked forward to, those have been broken, God can restore things. God can bring dreams if you've never had dreams. And God is the source of joy. If you've never had joy in your life, true everlasting joy, He is a source. So we want to extend an invitation for everyone to come forward to the front. If you need healing in your body, you're sick this morning, come on your left side. There'll be ministers to pray with you. If you have some situation going on, come right here in the middle. And you can't overcome a struggle, chemical dependency, something you need deliverance from, we'll have folks pray with you right here in the center. If you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, never experienced the joy of the Lord, never been baptized in Jesus' name, come on the right side. Again, we'll pray with you. Won't you come as a worship team sings? Let God be the joy in your life, in your family. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus, God. In you, Lord, we can know who we are.